Welcome to a new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. Merry Christmas to all.
Merry Christmas. And,
happy holidays. Happy Kwanzaa.
Yeah.
Happy Hanukkah. Whatever
Festivus.
Politically correct term that you use nowadays, because I guess you can't say anything without offending anybody anymore.
I'm pretty sure Frank celebrates Festivus, because you sit around, you talk about your woes, you know?
Yeah. Probably. He probably does.
Yeah,
happy probably. Holidays.
Happy
Seasons
holidays.
Greetings.
Seasoning.
So I just want to make sure we cover it all. I don't want to piss anyone off.
It's true.
You know, it seems to be the thing this holiday season. You know, baby is cold outside is offensive, and Rudolph is a bully, and all this.
Yep. And then Santa should be like a moose or something.
Yeah, he should be gender neutral
yes.
or something. Like, whatever. So how's it going, Matt?
It's going good. It's going great. You know, very jolly.
You were dressed as a polar bear the other day.
I was a polar bear. I took selfies with people. I accidentally smacked a woman's phone out of her hand on accident because...
Stupid fucking bear.
Yeah, man, it was hard to see. The only reason I agreed to be the polar bear is because now they have suits with fans in them. Before, oh man, dude, I felt like Jim Carrey.
Balls.
Yeah, man, like Jim Carrey in Ace Ventura 2 when he's in the rhino. It's like, kind of hot in these polar bears. Warm.
Well, maybe you brought some joy to some kids' faces. You know, and that's...
I think so.
That's what's important these holiday seasons, is to bring joy to the world and, you know...
As a polar bear.
Yeah.
Yes.
What does a polar bear even have to do with Christmas? I'm like...
I don't know.
Where did that become a thing?
You know, Coca-Cola, they did the marketing, you know, a long time ago with the polar bears rolling around in the snow.
Man, polar bears are like violent animals. I don't really think of them
That's
as like
true.
Friendly and cuddly for Christmas, you know.
There was that one this year that attacked a group of tourists that got into its hunting grounds and they had to shoot it because it was about to maul them.
Bears have been a common theme on the show the last few weeks. Remember we had those other bear stories. It's like...
Yeah, that's right.
Man.
Yeah, we're talking about bears a lot.
It makes you wonder. Like, I don't know why.
Like, but we just haven't talked about La Bears.
That's so seedy.
Yeah.
Seedy. It's not there anymore.
Oh, it isn't?
That's what I heard. Someone said it had closed down. So there is no longer a male strip club in Houston, Texas.
Wow.
Where a female strip club where males dance. So, Matt, your lifelong dream is no longer available. Or Frank's lifelong dream.
We should open up our own place. Like that Tallywhackers bar.
Why do you know all these places? That's even scarier. You know, where have you been hanging out with Jackie?
Facebook ads.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Tallywhacker.
So you recovered from our holiday party?
I did. I recovered, and then I went out and I bought more alcohol, and I will get more messed up at another time.
The last episode, we talked about the holiday party, and we mentioned friends that were there and things, and we called someone out a little bit on the show that you called them out directly
with
certain terms, and you know, she's probably going to punch me for this, but I told her I'm going to make you apologize on the show. You don't have to say her name.
Yeah.
But man, you went Frank level, dude. You got to bring it back to Matt level.
I don't know. I don't think it was Frank level. I think this is definitely me. I definitely opened my mouth.
Oh, yeah,
when
Frank
I shouldn't
probably
have.
Would have said something even worse, like, well, she had a hot ass or something like that.
Oh, yeah, you know, yeah, Frank would probably definitely say something like that. And then he'd do that weird laugh that he does. You know, it sounds like a sprinkler going off. Yeah, you can't hear me laugh. You can just see me laugh. I do the silent laugh.
Yes, yes.
So, you know, Miss Glasses and Christmas Sweater.
Friend from Mark's work.
Yeah, friend from Mark's work. I do apologize for the terminology that I used.
Please don't kick your ass.
Please don't kill me or leave a dead horse's head on my doorstep. Whatever kind of mafia stuff you do, just keep it in your neighborhood. The Hispanics in my neighborhood, you know, they probably wouldn't take too kindly to that. I'd probably freak them out, so...
She's a good supporter of the show.
Yeah, so. Yeah. And you're a good supporter of the show. Thank you for listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast. I was going to try and do my own version of the Goo Goo Dolls version of your name that is also their song, but it's a very creepy song.
Yeah, don't make it worse.
Yeah, yeah. Not Matchbox. But did I say Matchbox 20 or say Goo Goo Dolls? Okay, yeah, it's Goo Goo Dolls. But yeah, it's like, that's weird. He's like, in the music video, he's watching this girl from the tower. I think it's if we talked about this too much, a bunch of millennials would probably get offended by it.
Promote
stalking.
Everybody gets offended by everything.
Yeah, yeah. So thank you, and Mark's friend from his work, and you know, keep on listening, and I hope you have a great Christmas.
And good job.
Yeah. There you go.
She will be eternally grateful.
Hopefully, I am spared.
And also, shout. We mess with Frank all the time. He used to be on the show with us, but he dropped off some Christmas gifts for us today, some Star Wars swag.
Yes.
So thank you to the biscuit to Frank.
The biscuit
for,
that,
for the Christmas gifts to the guys to me, and we got him. We just give him flack. We didn't get him nothing.
Yeah, we just gave him flack.
If we did. We give him like a sack of like. We'd shave our pew hairs and give them to him or something. I don't know.
Isn't that like a South Park episode or something?
It was in Jackass.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, they made
yeah.
Out of pubes.
Oh, yeah. That's that gross, awesome. Dude.
But it's awesome, too, because...
It was.
You know, it's funny.
Pew beard.
But, yeah, so, you know. And, but that's it.
That's
so
it.
But that's so, Merry Christmas. Happy Holidays. Whatever's politically correct term. Let's get into the show.
Yes.
We always start the show with Download This, where we tell you what we've watched, streamed, checked out this week, and I saw something cool. You've been slacking a lot lately.
I have
so
been
what
slacking.
Have you watched this week?
I actually got to watch Venom instead of starting to watch it. Yeah. Sucks.
That's, yeah.
Sorry.
It wasn't very good.
And I mean, God,
well, to be
so
fair,
disappointed.
I haven't finished it yet. But I saw enough of it that I will probably finish it. Just
yeah.
But I'm just like, God, it's bad. I don't know how people went to the movies and said, man, it's not as bad as the critics made it out to be. Yeah, it is. It's pretty horrible, people.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like Tom Hardy. I love Tom Hardy. He's a really good actor. But did it feel to you like he was in three different movies? Like an action movie, a movie about a reporter, and a comedy?
Yeah. Yeah.
It almost felt like he was in...
That's
and
fair.
Then why is Michelle Williams even in the film? She's just sort of there.
Yeah, she's just there.
Just to give him a love interest. But there's no purpose for her being in the movie.
No. He just uses her.
Even the CGI wasn't very good.
Mm-mm.
It's just like... It makes you wonder that Sony can do something amazing, like Into the Spider-Verse, and then do a movie like this. And it's just like... It shows you go the studio is really there just by name. It's a lot of this has to do with the producers and the people they put behind these films, you know.
Yeah.
But it made a ton of money, so they're going to make a sequel. It's made like $800 million at the box office worldwide.
That's crazy.
So you know, it's made money. I think Tom Hardy has said a lot of stuff got cut, that there was a better film there, so maybe one day we'll get a director's cut.
I think he said something about like all his favorite parts were pretty much cut.
Will you watch a Tom Hardy film? Do you have sometimes, if they didn't do proper post-production audio work, do you have a hard time hearing him as an actor?
I guess in Mad Max, kind of a little bit.
Yeah, well, I've noticed in Mad Max, too, like, when he talks, he doesn't. And so I don't know if they always go behind him and finish post-production audio work with him and have him re-record stuff, but I've noticed that. It's sometimes, like, his voice doesn't project well on screen.
Like, it's almost like he's wearing a mask. In front of his face.
But he's such a good actor. He really is. And you hate to see him get movies like that that could have been.
I do like
better.
Tom Hardy.
Yeah.
I think maybe we haven't seen the last of his Venom.
No. And hopefully the sequel is way better than whatever that turd on a stick was.
Yeah, a turd on a stick.
You know, that's they're 0-2 on Venom in theaters, in movies, man. Maybe the third time out will be the charm.
What sucks is that you know, they had a whole movie to focus on Venom, and this the other one was thrown together,
right?
And the other one was better, in my opinion.
And then the Fox gave you the template to how to do an anti-hero movie with Deadpool.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it needed to be like Deadpool, but
no.
The basic template was there as to how to make an anti-hero work.
Yeah, lazy writing, and then...
So, you know, anything else you watched this week besides we both watched Venom. We both agreed it sucked.
Yeah, it sucked. That's really about it.
At least I didn't pay for it.
I know, right?
Thank you for buying on Vudu so yes. I can watch that crappy movie.
Hey, someone had to take the bullet, right? Someone's got to take one for the team. It's all good.
I brought this up on the show, but I rewatched Street Fighter II, the animated movie, because I picked up on Blu-ray. It's kind of like one of my Christmas gifts. Me and the wife, we don't we just kind of buy stuff we want for each other. We don't really wrap it. We have wrapped it before, but this year we're like, we're not wrapping it. We're just, you know, she wanted a Nintendo Switch. I wanted a couple of movies, so I'm good. But I did see Aquaman in theaters. Really, really good. I might like it a little more than I like Wonder Woman.
Wow.
And it may not be better than Wonder Woman because of certain aspects, but I think I might have
more entertaining.
I might have liked it better because it doesn't have that muddled third act that Wonder Woman had.
Okay.
This had, to me, really well spread out action throughout it. It's not all close up and dark, so you can see what's going on. And our friend of the show, Long, the evil Dr. Tran, actually sent us a review that he saw Aquaman, and I'm going to play it here in a moment for you guys to listen to and see what his thoughts. But I had a lot of the same thoughts he did, that it had good humor. It was well-paced, really, really fantastic CGI work. It doesn't take itself too seriously. In fact, there's a couple of moments that are almost 90s action movie cheesy. Like, I mean, this is non-spoiler, but there's a part where Black Manta looks at the screen and he goes, "You can call me Black Manta." And it is really very comic bookish, right?
Yeah.
But it works for some reason in this movie because the movie doesn't.
Is Joel Schumacher on this?
And it happens again later with the Ocean Master, and he goes, "You will call me Ocean Master." So it happens twice, but it's forgiven because there's so much other really cool stuff going on around
this. That's cool.
Amber Heard is really good as Mara. She's not just a pretty face on screen. She really puts her all in the role. And it's got a great cast. You know, Patrick Wilson is in it, who was in The Watchmen. William Dafoe is in it. You know, of course, Jason Momoa is Aquaman. Nicole Kidman is in there, too, in the film.
Nicole Kidman.
There's a Star Wars reference to Mara Morrison, who played Jango Fett. He's in the film. You know, it's really well put together. It's really nicely shot. James Wan is mostly known for his horror films and stuff he's done, but he put together a really, really good Aquaman movie. And I think DC, this is the way they need to do things. Let's focus on individually good films. Wonder Woman is really good. Aquaman is really good. Let's get a good Batman movie. Let's get a good Flash movie. And then worry about making another Justice League movie. And
that's how Marvel did it.
You know, well, I don't even think it's so much that having to follow the Marvel template. You don't really need to have post-credit scenes. You don't even necessarily...
Oh, no, not that. I just mean, like, let's focus on the movie.
You know, you don't even have to have these characters really come together. We can never have another Justice League movie, and it's okay. As long as we get great comic... Because I love seeing these characters come to life on the big screen. I love watching comic movies. Mm-hmm. We've got Captain Marvel coming up in March, and then, of course, Endgame. It's not stopping. We got Spider-Man 2 coming out. It's fantastic.
It's going to be a good time to be a comic book fan.
In the last 2 weeks, I've seen Spider-Man and the Spider-Verse and Aquaman, and it's seen things from my childhood come to life on screen, and it's an amazing thing to see. And our kids are going to be spoiled by this because they're going to grow up with this stuff.
Yeah.
This is stuff we were waiting. I mean, we had some comic book films, but we had to really wait until 2008 and up. Or I would go back to 2005 and up when Batman Begins to really start getting these characters to life on the big screen on a yearly basis.
Yeah.
Now, we had Spider-Man, X-Men, all that in the early 2000s, but now we're spoiled by these, of seeing things we grew up loving on the big screen come to life.
It's amazing how far we've come. I can remember the time whenever we saw post-credit scenes from Iron Man, and, you know, we started talking about, man, how cool is this going to be when everything
just
comes together?
Just hearing the words in Avengers Initiative, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and it's fantastic, and that's why I just want to just keep them coming. You know, I think it's great that Warner Brothers and DC seem to be getting their shit together.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't know why we need a Birds of Prey movie. I don't know, but
yeah, Joss Whedon to direct it.
But if it's good though, then you know, let's do it.
Yeah,
a Suicide Squad wasn't very good. You know, and that was the problem. It had some good moments in it, but it wasn't very good overall. But Wonder Woman and Aquaman are definitely steps in the right direction. Aquaman is a lot of fun, a really, really good movie. And it's 2.5 hours, but it's paced really well. It moves fast. So really very worth seeing. They did what many people thought was unthinkable, and that was make Aquaman fucking cool. Because you know, everyone's like, oh, he's a cheesy character. He wears orange and yellow.
Remember Super Friends?
Yeah, Super Friends, but he's badass in this.
He talked to fish, pretty much.
And for the ladies out there listening, lots of shirtless Jason Momoa, so you'll be happy.
There you go.
He's pretty much shirtless almost the whole movie. You know? So, but really good. So go see Aquaman in theaters now. It looks like it's going to be number one at the box office this weekend. Everyone thought Mary Poppins, but it doesn't seem, Mary Poppins doesn't seem like people are going to see it. I mean, it's making some money, but not big money.
Man, Mary Poppins used to be the shit.
But Mary Poppins is like our grandmother's superhero, you know? So it's kind of,
That's true.
Are kids today really familiar with Mary Poppins?
Probably not.
Not really.
Outside of that reference from Guardians of the Galaxy 2?
Yeah.
Probably not.
No. So, So, it is what it is. So, are we ready to get into today's movie?
I'm ready. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right.
We are closing out 2018. Sorry, I had to take a drink.
It's all right.
Oh, you know what? Let me backtrack just a little bit. We need to play Long's Review. So, here's Long's Review, The Evil Dr. Tran of Aquaman.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Matt. And thank you for inviting me onto the show, letting me give you my non-spoiler review for Aquaman. And let me tell you, this is definitely a movie that if you are bored this holiday season and you want a good, solid action movie, Aquaman will deliver that for you. And what's so good about the movie is that it's definitely one of those comic book movies. It's probably the only comic book movie, to my knowledge, that doesn't really care about being too serious. And the CGI in this movie is just amazing. And I can see why it took them almost a year to get all the visual effects into the movie, even though they finished shooting the movie about a year or so ago. But Jason Momoa and Amber Heard carried the movie really well. And, there are some scenes that are kind of pushing it as far as corniness and stuff like that. But honestly, you could look past those. I look past them because the movie itself is very well paced. There's a lot going on in this movie. You have about three or four different subplots going on. But James Wan does a pretty good job of weaving all those threads together. It's a pretty dense movie. It definitely needs a rewatch for sure. Because sitting through it, I was watching this at a Cinemark theater. And the screen, it was a normal size screen. But I think I would have gotten more enjoyment out of it if I sat in a larger screen like an IMAX or an XD theater or something like that. But I had to get what was available. Opening night was packed for this movie. And say that the audience was captivated by it for sure. I mean, there was hardly anyone objecting to the content of the movie itself. Let's see. The movie, it's definitely won't keep you bored, that's for sure. I mean, there's some uneven pacing here and there, but again, you can look past those because the next scenes will pick up the action. And the action, the way it was directed, is very well done because it doesn't do very many quick close-up shots during the fight scenes. Definitely one of the most sweeping wide shot or wide angle type action scenes. You could see what's going on. You could follow the action really well. Let's see. But yeah, Aquaman is definitely a visual feast to be sure. And if you have no movies to watch or not movies, if you're bored during the holiday season, definitely check out Aquaman. Because I think the same weekend Bumblebee comes out as well as Mary Poppins and Aquaman. But Aquaman for sure isn't a shallow experience. But, it is what it is. It's a superhero movie. And where it ranks as far as DC movies, it's definitely up there with Wonder Woman. And then the way I would rank it is probably Wonder Woman, Aquaman, Man of Steel, Justice League, Suicide Squad. But those are my personal rankings for the recent DC movies. Looking forward to what they'll do with the Birds of Prey movie that will star Catwoman, Huntress, Poison Ivy, I think, might be in it, Harley Quinn, and Black Canary. I think they've already announced the casting for that movie. I think Joker might make an appearance, but I'm not sure. But yeah, let me break down Aquaman just a little bit further. The audio and visual part of the movie is, it's a feast for the eyes and ears, for sure. The direction of the movie is pretty much, you know, balls to the wall, crisp. And there are some horror elements in part of the movie, but I won't spoil it too much for you. You'll know when you get there. Because James Wan is a horror director, and he's well known to direct The Conjuring, Insidious, you know, those recent type of horror movies. What else did he do? Well, anyways, the acting is sufficient. It's not the greatest, but they get the job done. It's not glaringly bad or anything like that. The action and the special effects really carry this movie. Anyways, that's my non-spoiler review. I highly recommend it. It is an unapologetic comic book movie, and it relishes in its over-the-top nature, and that's what I love about the movie. It doesn't try to be too serious or overly dramatic, because for this kind of movie, it would probably ruin the movie if it tried to be too serious or, you know, too dour. But definitely a very colorful and lighthearted DC movie. And man, you know, if you're a fan of movies that are based underwater, like, you know, this is going to be your jam too. So I give this movie a B+.
And that was Long's thoughts on Aquaman. We appreciate you, Long.
Thank you, Long.
That over to the show. And that was his thoughts. Like I said, some of the similar things I had to say about it, but that great movie minds think alike, right? So now let's get into today's movie. You were supposed to say yes, man. You were like, what? You call yourself great, Mark?
Yeah, I was like, I had to question you for a second. above average.
So we rebooted the show back in late January, where we focus on a movie every episode. We started it with Batman, 1989. So we're going to end the year with a movie that's celebrating its 25th anniversary on Tuesday. This movie came out in theaters on Christmas Day in 1993. And it is Batman Mask of the Phantasm. Animated Batman film, which was originally, you know, it's spins off from the Batman the animated series, which was highly successful.
Yeah, and this looked to capitalize on that. Yeah,
it was going to be direct to video. It was going to come direct to VHS and everything. But then Warner Brothers was really liking the returns and the ratings and everything on the show, so they end up giving the production a little more money their way and give it a theatrical release. And they kind of panicked because they only had like 6 months to get this ready for theaters.
Yeah. I think it ended up taking 8 months. Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
And so it did hit theaters in limited release. I saw this in theaters back in the day because I was in high school at the time. So that was my first time ever watching it. When did you remember seeing this film for the first time?
I wanted to see it in theaters. I remember it coming out, and I was watching the animated series, and I remember it looking super cool. Just, you know, seeing, you know, the Phantasm, which, you know, on screen was really exciting, but I had to wait until it came out on VHS.
Yeah. And that's fine. And this movie had a very strange release pattern. It didn't even hit DVD until like 2005 or 6. So it had a
many And it years. Still hasn't been a Blu-ray, right?
It's on Blu-ray finally. It came out on Blu-ray last year through Warner Archive.
Finally.
So you got to either order it off of Warner Archive or Amazon. And it is in the current box set. If you buy the Batman the Animated Series box set that has all the episodes, the movie is in there too on Blu-ray.
You know what's crazy? Batman and Robin got a Blu-ray before this one, which is an injustice.
And a DVD release before this one. Yeah. It took forever to... I have it on DVD, and even the DVD's not widescreen. The new Blu-ray is.
Man.
So eventually I'm going to buy the box set with everything. I'll have it eventually. But, you know, this is a really, really good Batman movie. It might arguably be one of the top two or three Batman movies.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people haven't seen this. They didn't realize, you know, you mentioned to you, they forget it exists. Now the hardcore fans,
it's the first DC animated film.
And, And it kind of set the template standard for what would become DC animated films later on, you know, almost 15 years later, where they started releasing their animated films. But this movie takes a different approach than the animated series does. The animated series was short, quick stories. They're 20 minutes long. The movie, they could expand on that. They made it a little more serious. It's a little more adult in a lot of ways.
Oh, man, they had to work for that PG rating. Yeah. Work
it,
for it,
it
man.
It explores Bruce's love life. It explores the early origins of Batman in a way we haven't seen before. We're so used to the story of his parents being killed and he becoming Batman. Mm-hmm. And in this, we get to see different aspects of that, which I thought were really cool. There's a really great scene in this where when he first puts on the suit and Alfred sees him, and Alfred has a fear in his own eyes. It's something we'd never witnessed that before in any kind of form, you know, and this pulls it off so well in a little 30 seconds of seeing what Alfred thinks about this whole idea.
Yeah, and then, you know, developing Bruce, you know, on a whole nother level. I mean, whenever he's starting to date Audria, he goes to his parents' grave, and it's like he feels guilty for having happiness in his life. And he's like, I'm sorry, I didn't know, I didn't think things were going to be this way. And I guess his parents' death ended up traumatizing him so much that he feels like he can't even be happy because of it, that he's not allowed to. And so it kind of, you know, develops his character a little bit more in a way that you haven't really seen in the films. And that's one of the reasons why this film is so good and probably revered as probably the best Batman film ever, especially animated. But yeah, even, you know, out of all of them, live action too.
Yeah, I mean, I've always found this to be a really fascinating look at the Batman mythos from a different standpoint, because, and I think the way it's drawn with that animated style of the film noir that they did with the Batman animated series kind of set this in a timeless place. Mm-hmm. And it makes it work, so you feel the emotion of the characters through animation that you don't always get in live action, you know, and you're able to do more with it budget wise too, and show things that you can't show in a live action film. And this is really well done. And kudos to Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill and the entire voice cast for making this feel like watching a live-action film that's done in animation.
Not only that, but Shirley Walker, the composer. Mm-hmm. I mean, whenever Batman first puts on the mask, you know something badass is about to happen.
Yeah.
And she got an all-person choir to start doing vocals in some parts of the movie. And like you said, it does itself justice because of everything that was put in there, especially the audio.
Yeah. So. Well, to set this film up, it takes place. There is a new killer in town in Gotham City, and he's taking out mob bosses. Mm-hmm. And at first, people think it's the Batman, but Bruce knows it's not him. Commissioner Gordon knows it's not him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's revealed fairly early on in the film that it's not Batman. That's this character they're calling Phantasm, which is strangely never referred to as Phantasm in the film.
Yeah.
Except for one time, I think. And I don't think anyone ever calls the character that by name. And so Batman's on the case trying to find out why these mobsters are being killed. Yeah. And he comes across Andrea Beaumont, who was a former lover of his back in the day.
She's back in town.
And reconnects with her, and it starts making him, like you said, question
what she's doing, because she's meeting with the congressman.
Yeah.
She's here and there, and he gets the feeling that she's hiding something from him, and she gets the feeling that he's hiding something from her, which, you know, we know what that secret is.
And so through a series of flashbacks, we see these stories about how he used to be in love with Andrea, and it was at a time where he was starting to become Batman was when he met her.
Mm-hmm.
We get to see Bruce Wayne in action with no bat suit yet and just fighting. He kind of gets beat up a little bit. He's not perfect.
Yeah.
It's very reminiscent that I wonder if Christopher Nolan watched this and Batman Begins.
Exactly.
Some ideas from this. And this is loosely based on Batman Year One and Batman Year Two comic books, you know, some ideas from it. In fact, there's a character in those comics that's very similar to Andrea that they borrowed from for this adaption.
Yeah, they just kind of reworked it because the Phantasm, I believe, was originally called the Reaper, and I think it was his daughter or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm just loosely familiar with that storyline, but they did a good job creating the character and kind of taking pieces here and there, creating a solid storyline.
Excuse me.
Yeah. But, like, to your credit, you know, whenever he's beat up pretty bad in Batman Begins, too, and he's wearing the hockey mask just like he is in this one before he has the suit, and he's pissed off because people didn't fear him. You know, he beat the crap out of him. He won. He saved the day, but they didn't fear him like he wanted them to. And that's, of course, when he comes up, you know, with the bats.
Yeah, and then it continues on through a series of flashbacks. And like you said, the emotional aspect of it, him thinking that he had just become Batman, but he might already be done with it because he's finding happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really well handled, I thought, by the writers of the movie.
Yeah, and she ends up taking off with her dad, supposedly. Right. But, you know, you get the feeling that that's not, you know, like that maybe her dad ceased to be because of the trouble he got into with the mob. And she takes off. She leaves him a Dear John letter. And that's when he decides, you know what, I'm going to be Batman.
Yeah,
you know, I've got no one to fight for, you know, no one to come home to. This is what I'm going to do.
And one thing I always loved about Batman the Animated Series too was that it was never afraid to, and especially shows it in this movie, it was never afraid to do stories that weren't just the main villains. It wasn't just about the Joker and the Penguin and Two-Face. They would do these mob stories and these crime stories, mm-hmm. and stuff that was very, if you think about it, very risky for television, because kids tune in. They want to see the Joker, and they want to see the Penguin. They want to see Batman fighting bad guys. But there were episodes that were, the entire episode, you never saw one of the rogues gallery, you know? And in this movie, you really, it's very same. You don't really see any of the rogues gallery till late in the movie when the Joker appears in it.
Yeah, in fact, they kind of spoiled that the Joker was in this movie whenever they released some of their toys.
Right.
They released the Phantasm Unmasked with the Joker, so you knew you were going to get Mark Hamill in this movie
right.
as a Joker. And then Dana Delany, who was in our last film that we talked about.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, that name sounds familiar. And so I IMDb'd it, and I'm like, oh, yeah, she was in Tombstone.
And she went on to play Lois Lane in Superman Animated Series.
Yeah, yeah. So they were very impressed with her voice work, and she found other work. Yeah. Not as prolific as Tara Strong.
No.
You know, Harley Quinn going on to be Raven and all kinds of people, Powerpuff Girls.
Right.
But, yeah, good career, good voice actress.
Right.
Yeah, but where was I going with her? I know I was talking about Dana Delany. So they spoiled. I talked about how they spoiled the Joker toy, and it turns out that looks like they went with another alternate storyline for the Joker. And I know they wanted to steer clear away from using the Joker because in Batman 89 they had already touched on the Joker. But how can you not have Mark Hamill in this movie?
Right.
The great Mark Hamill, best Joker ever. You know. If you know, we're putting them all on the same level, live action and animation, best Joker ever. Have him in this film at the very end, and he's got robots and some weird robots.
Right.
And then one of the most gruesome scenes to me in the movie, where Batman gets hit with the little toy plane, and it's like he just hits his arm, and it's just so. I don't know. It just makes you want to jump every time you see it because he gets hit in the arm so bad. Kevin Conroy really, really sells it. Really sells that scream whenever he's you know, and he's engaging the Joker because he knows who the Phantasm is, and the Joker knows who the Phantasm is as he reveals. You know, because Bruce thought it was Andrea's dad. Turns out it's Andrea, and she's a badass fighter.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We still don't know how the fog is created, but, you know.
Yeah, hey. It's some sort of chemical residue.
Yeah,
so she ends up becoming the Phantasm, wanting revenge on all these mobsters that destroyed her dad's livelihood.
She kills Buzz first off. That's like the first scene in the movie, and she starts killing the other ones, and it turns out the guy that actually carried out the hit was Joker, so she saves him for last. Which I don't know how she found out where he lives, but she's a Phantasm, so she's going to find out. She's going to hunt you down. The ending scene is, you know, the ending battle is pretty badass. It's just the way it ends with the, you know, all the explosions.
Yeah.
And then Batman going back to his cave, and then there's the amulet, not amulet there, the locket there with him and her picture.
Right,
and then he's just staring over the city.
Yeah,
but there's some gruesome fight with the Joker, and that's part of the reasons I feel like the PG rating was really pushed, and they had to fight to keep it PG and not PG-13 because it could have very well been PG-13,
and, which is very rare for an animated film, but it could have happened. And there are some interesting things for a Batman film. You know, Robin appeared in the animated series quite often, but he doesn't appear in this. And I guess in the novel, it explains why he's not in it. He's out at school, which
is kind of interesting. Yeah.
Commissioner Gordon's only in the film a couple of times, and he was a big part of the TV series.
Yeah.
And, of course, he was in Burton's films, and then he became a huge part of Nolan's films, of course. So some things are a little different. This was very much, out of all the Batman movies, other than Batman Begins. And I wouldn't even say Batman Begins. This might be the one Batman film that focuses really hardcore on Bruce and his life.
Yeah.
And who he is. Because even Batman Begins, he had multiple characters with Ra's al Ghul and Gordon and all that. Mm-hmm. Where this movie is definitely a focus on Batman and his character.
Yeah, just his psyche and how, you know, mentally he came to be how he was and, you know, how he's dealing with the death of his parents. And yeah. It's, you know, she knows it's Bruce whenever, you know, she sees him at his grave, the Wayne grave. Yeah. And she gets that feeling that he's Batman just, I guess, because of his, you know, his outings, you know, whenever she was out with him and he says, is that my sweater? Is my skin crawling? And he tries to save that guy who's getting his money box stolen, fights the guy on the bicycle. But just not quite good enough. Jiu-jitsu. Kazuntai.
Right. But for a Batman film, though, this is one of my favorite. You know, the animated series went on to get two more spinoff films. They did a Batman Mr. Freeze Sub-Zero film.
Oh, yeah.
About a year later.
That one I saw.
Which is really good, too. And it was going to receive a theatrical release if this one had made a lot of money. But unfortunately, Mask of the Phantasm didn't make a lot of money at the box office. You know, it came out Christmas time and you know, animated films, you know, that I don't know what it was. I didn't pay attention to the internet back then or marketing or anything like that, but it just didn't do as well as they would hoped. So they ended up releasing Sub-Zero on home video, and then they did Mystery of the Batwoman, which was done towards the tail end of the run of the series.
Yeah.
So we did get a couple more spinoff films due to this, and I always had hoped that they would go back and do another film in this universe, and they did the Batman Harley Quinn movie from a couple years ago that kind of took place somewhat in this universe.
Somewhat.
Just to have the same feel to it, you know.
Yeah, that was a pretty risque scene in that.
Oh, yeah.
Batman Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
When she, like, bends over and they're like, man, is this some kind of, you got one of those hentai artists over there that draw Harley Quinn's butt from behind? I was like, man, that's competing with Elastigirl's butt right there.
but Batman Mask of the Phantasm, you know, if you were ranking the Batman films, obviously the Dark Knight's always probably number one for most people.
Yeah.
But I would, man, I might put this, I'd have a hard time putting it above any of Nolan's three films, but I could maybe put this above Burton's.
Yeah.
I could put this at number four easily. I think it's that good of a Batman film from start to finish, and people might dismiss it because it is animated, it's a cartoon, but it's really good. And it's not just for kids. Like we just said, it's a very adult-oriented Batman film in a lot of ways and the themes it deals with.
Yeah, I agree with that. Very, very mature films. I mean, you see mature themes. I mean, you see people getting strangled, people getting killed.
Yeah.
I mean, it's PG,
yeah.
And you're noticing people getting murdered or cut. There's blood.
Yeah. And the amazing Paul Dini, who produced a lot of the animated series, that's what he set out to do. He wanted this to be completely different from what they did on the show every day, but also to still fit in with that show. And I think they pull it off with bells and whistles.
Absolutely.
That it is that.
Yeah, really bells and whistles. Really bells and whistles. Especially with who they come in. You get to come in and do the Phantasm voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, and how good is Kevin Conroy? And Mark Hamill. I mean,
freaking awesome.
Conroy is our Batman. He is probably the best voice of Batman ever. One thing I really enjoyed about seeing Batman the Killing Joke, whether people liked the movie or not, was getting to see Kevin and Mark work together again on a film like that. And they still do things together now and then. You know, Kevin Conroy's still been voicing the character in video games some here and there, and Hamill's still been doing the Joker. I know Hamill doesn't do the Joker as much anymore. Because it's really hard on his throat as he gets older.
Mm-hmm.
But Conroy's still out there going. He'll voice Batman anytime they ask him to.
Man, yeah, it's sad to hear whenever someone's voice is kind of giving out. That's like for you Dragon Ball Z fans, they talk to Sean Schemmel, and he does Goku's voice, and he talks about how, you know, man, a lot of screaming, it really, really gets to me.
Yeah.
You know, screaming like Goku. And I'm like, oh, man, you hate hearing that. You know, man, I don't want my voice actors getting old on me and pooping out. You don't want to see a change at the guard, especially not with Conroy or Hamill.
No, they are Batman and Joker. And,
absolutely.
And if you've never seen this movie and you're a Batman fan, well, shame on you. You need to watch Batman.
Hell yeah.
Phantasm. We're a fan of comic books. We're a fan of just great movies. This really is a really good animated film. Possibly one of the not counting Disney stuff, because that's not fair, this might be a top 10 animated film ever made. I would give it that much credit. It's really, really
agree.
Good Batman film. And any final thoughts on Batman Masks of Phantasm before we get into a lot of other stuff we've got going and in, getting into today?
No, it's really good. I mean, even my kids were into it whenever I let them watch it. You know, hey, it's PG. Yeah. So I let them have at it, and they were stoked. They loved it.
Yeah,
it's just good film. Holds up today.
That's right. 25 years since it hit theaters.
Boom.
That either just means I'm old or it's been 25 years.
Or it's been 25 years.
So we got some things to talk about. We've got some news, a little bit of news. Then it's the end of the year. I've pretty much seen most movies I want to see this year, except for I haven't seen Bumblebee yet. And I know you've seen most things too. Mm-hmm. Well, you haven't seen Aquaman or Spider-Man, so
I haven't. Yeah,
we're going to talk about some of our favorite movies that we saw this year. Your list might be lacking a little bit since you've been slacking the last few weeks, but I'll forgive you. You've been playing with polar bears.
Yeah, I have. I have and, been.
So I kind of did a top five of films I saw this year. I don't know how you did yours. Mm-hmm. And but you know, I'm going to start with the movie I saw yesterday, Aquaman. Right now it's probably my fifth favorite film this year.
Okay.
And that could flux, man. I really, all five of these movies, I liked them all a lot, and that's just how good of a year it was for comic book films and action films. And
yeah,
so you know, but I have Aquaman there.
Okay. I have Solo as number five.
See, I had Solo on there, like, on the outside looking at it. I don't even have it in my top five. Can you believe that?
It's hard, man. Really, it was tough. Solo.
Yeah.
I felt like I saw some really good movies that could have tied in for that number five spot. I thought about putting Incredibles 2 there, but, you know, I really liked Incredibles 2. It was good seeing it coming back, you know, after all this time. But I felt like, you know, it was a little predictable.
Did I tell you I did finally watch that?
You did?
Yeah, I found it boring.
Found it boring?
I just didn't think it was that good.
Some parts of it were.
Even Mary didn't think it was that great.
Yeah.
So I was like, eh.
The first one was really good. I mean, maybe they should have just left it alone. But maybe the sequel is going to be the really good one, the second sequel.
Years again?
Yeah, hopefully not.
at number four, I have Black Panther, which we've talked a lot about that movie on this show throughout the year. And again, this is one that could easily be top two. You know, because it's really good. I mean, yeah. Michael B. Jordan is so good in it. I know that it seems like they're spinning possible Oscar talk for it. You know, I can see that for Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah.
He's so good in it.
Yeah, for Michael B. Jordan.
I don't know. You know, I don't really care if our films that we love, comic book films, get nominated for Best Picture. It doesn't matter to me. It was nice to see Mad Max get nominated a couple years ago, but I don't really care.
Yeah.
You know, as long as I enjoy it, that's all that matters.
Yeah, I would put Deadpool 2 for number four. I know, I felt like it deserved to be in here, and I felt like it would have either been five or four.
But Solo's better than Deadpool 2.
You think so?
Yeah.
I thought it was close. I felt like those two could have been interchangeable to me.
Deadpool 2 wasn't the exact same movie as the first one. It's almost the same movie.
Yeah, but he went back in time, and he got Wolverine in the film, sort of.
Not really.
Yeah, I did.
No.
Kind of did.
No. At number three, I have a. And again, I could have. I have Mission Impossible Fallout number three.
Oh, okay.
Man, that movie is.
I wanted to rent that the other day.
It's so good, man. It's probably. It's the best in the series.
I should have bought that instead of Venom.
And it's so good. From it starts and doesn't let up. It's action packed with a really good story. Tom Cruise just keeps kicking ass as that character, as Ethan Hunt. And. A strange foreshadowing to the next movie we might be doing.
Yeah.
But Mission Impossible Fallout, I have number three, which is just, man, it's really good. I've been wanting to watch it again. I started to rent it, but I think I'm going to probably buy it since I do own most of Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
But it's such a good movie.
I have Ready Player One for number three.
See, that's one I almost had on my list too. And what's funny is that might be my favorite movie I've seen this year, just maybe not the best, but I really like Ready Player One.
I liked it too. I mean, even with the changes they made, I think they did a really good job. Really entertaining movie. I liked it.
Yeah.
I liked it.
It's nostalgic as fuck, but it's
hell yeah, it's a love song to our childhood.
You know, Spielberg is one of our great directors of all time. He's continually just makes film after film after film. He's still, I think, the only director that's made more than one perfect movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and despite whether Frank hates Jaws or not, I think Jaws and Saving Private Ryan are two perfect films that he's made. I think Spielberg is
Shark in the
Raiders
Water.
Of the Lost Ark.
That's oh, perfect. Yeah, Raiders and the Lost Ark.
Three perfect films this man has his credit. And I can't think of any other director that has three perfect films they made. And that's just how good Spielberg is. And Ready Player One, good choice. Number two, I have Infinity War.
You know, okay.
Which I already kind of spoiled last week, my number one it was, because I really liked it a lot. But I love Infinity War too, man. It's a comic book wet dream all on screen.
It really
seeing
is.
Seeing all those characters come together and just, I mean, it's everything we've ever wanted from a comic
film. I feel like
film.
You can watch it all the time.
Yeah. It's so well paced. It moves fast. Seeing all those characters, Spider-Man, Iron Man.
We got Captain Iron America. Spider out of it, man.
Yeah. It's freaking incredible what they were able to pull off from Infinity War.
Sorry.
What do you have next?
I have Black Panther number two.
Good choice.
Yeah.
So my number one is Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, which I saw last week, and I've been telling people at work, man, this is the best Spider-Man film ever made. It's funny that we just covered an animated film today, and then my number one film I've seen this year is an animated film, because Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, I am not kidding people, it is that good. It is almost perfect. It's a really, really, really exciting Spider-Man film. It's got a lot of heart, a lot of humor. It's a comic book come to life on the big screen. It's great.
I saw a couple scenes from it. And it's like I remember the Into the Spider-Verse from season 5 of the not Ultimate Spider-Man, but you know, the Spider-Man from the mid 90s. It was part of the Madame Web storyline, and you had all these different Spider-Man. You had one with like Doc Ock arms, and you had a rich Spider-Man with a metal Spider-Man suit, and it was pretty cool. And it's cool that a modern, you know, upgraded version of this with Miles Morales is in there, and I can't wait to see it. I know you. Yeah. Everyone's talking about how good it is.
It's great.
Yeah.
And what was your number one? Infinity War.
Infinity War. Yeah, you knew it was coming. I wasn't gonna have Infinity War out of the top five.
No, of course.
Yeah.
And so that's our favorite movies we've seen this year. Like I said, I want to see Bumblebee. That's probably the only thing I haven't seen that I want to see.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. Bumblebee. Know,
this movie. This
Did
year.
Did you see Creed?
I haven't seen Creed yet.
Yeah, Creed. Yeah.
But other than that, this year for movies wasn't like a ton of must-sees, but a good solid group of about 10 must-sees, I felt.
Yeah.
You know, this year. And I've seen most of them, except for Creed and Bumblebee. That's probably the only two I still want to see. Mm-hmm. So I've heard really good things about Bumblebee. You know,
yeah.
Some really good
reviews. Heard it's fun.
So, and, you know, it kind of makes me look back on our year as we get ready to move into 2019. Here at Rebel Radio, before we get to the news, Rebel Radio had a good year, man. We had a good time at Comicpalooza.
Mm-hmm.
Some technical difficulties with our live show, but did come out the best. You know, I did a panel there where we talked podcasting. That was kind of probably our big highlight. We had H-Town Podfest about a month ago, where we went and met some other podcasters and everything. And
A little pandemic.
Went to the pandemic tour. And hopefully in 2019, we can continue to do some fun stuff.
Absolutely.
We'll be at Comicpalooza again this year. I'm in charge of the podcast program this year, along with Erica from Raging Nerds. And, you know, so we'll be doing that. Fandemic's coming back. If they let us in again, maybe we'll check out Fandemic. I'm sure there'll be another H-Town Podfest. And we just want to keep growing the show as we move into next year. Any moments that stood out for you this year on the show?
Oh, same as yours. I mean, you know, Comicpalooza is always our favorite, and hope, you know, for a better live show again. Right. You know, we're gonna update some equipment, and then.
Did you have a favorite episode we did this year?
Oh man, I really liked 7.
Did you?
Because I felt like I kind of had control over that one. I felt like I was kind of all over the place with my whenever I talked about it though, because there's so much that I wanted to talk about. I didn't know where to start, and
it's funny you say that, because I was thinking back on the shows we did this year, and like when we rebooted the show with doing movies, you know, we were finding our footing and our format, and like we did Terminator 2 as a double feature, and I look back on those and I'm like, man, I wish we would have done them differently, you know, and maybe down the road we'll revisit them, because man, I just felt like we should have given Terminator 2 more than we gave it, but that's part of figure out what we did.
Yeah,
maybe blowing our wad a little bit too early on a couple of
movies. Yeah, we did. Yeah. I think we started off really strong.
But
My
favorites, I really enjoyed the two Superman episodes we just did in early December with you. Those were really good.
Those are good.
The Buckaroo Banzai episode.
Because, oh, that was good.
It's just such a unique movie, and it's such a cult following. It was fun to do.
John Lithgow.
Yeah, and those are some fun ones. And as we move forward into 2019, I know there's a lot coming up. We're gonna do, we're gonna have we're gonna do a Halloween horrors again in October. We're gonna have another theme month we're planning maybe in March. We don't know what it's gonna be yet.
Yeah.
I can tell you right now, these are movies that have anniversaries coming up. The Matrix is going to be 20 years old.
Man.
Iron Giant's 20 years old. Talking about animated films, Iron Giant's going to be 20 years old. We haven't even done Indiana Jones films yet. We haven't done Lord of the Rings. So much that we can do in this year. We hope that we can keep doing a good job and bring it to you. And we thank everyone for listening. You know, and anybody out there that goes to rebelradiopodcast.com, checks out the website, downloads the show, or tells a friend about the show.
Yes.
You know, as we move forward. So, we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute, but let's do some news real quick before we get out of here. We had some new trailers this week. The Men in Black International trailer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, I think it's an interesting way. It's got Tessa Thompson and Chris Hemsworth. You know, they're going to...
And Liam Neeson.
And Liam Neeson is in it, that's right. So it's kind of a reboot. It's like a reboot slash, in a way, tie-in, I guess, with the others. No more Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones, but... I think the Men in Black stories are really cool, and they're neat ideas. So I think this is one reboot. I'm kind of like, it could be fun. You know?
Yeah, they do the neuralizer, the red button in the car, noisy crickets.
Yeah.
You know, and then the Thor reference in the trailer, that was pretty fun. Well, it's over now. Throws a tiny hammer at him, does nothing.
And you know, I like the last one they did with Josh Brolin as the young Tommy Lee Jones,
young Tommy,
but. But, you know, maybe it's time to move on from them because I guess Will Smith and Tommy Lee, neither one are really interested in doing another one.
Yeah.
So, you know, they moved on, and it looks like it could be fun, you know.
I think
and,
so.
And Chris Hemsworth, of course, I guess he needs a new franchise in case he doesn't continue to play Thor after Avengers Endgame. We don't know yet.
Mm-hmm.
And Tessa Thompson's a really good young actress. Of course, she's in the Creed films and was in Thor Ragnarok. So, you know, good for her to get a big-time role and move forward in her career. Yeah. The other trailer was the Hellboy trailer. Finally came out. You know, this movie's come out in April. And, man, I love the character of Hellboy. And watching this trailer, though, I couldn't help but think I wish it was still Ron Perlman and Guillermo del Toro doing it. It doesn't look bad. But
no.
It just makes you wish what we could have had.
Yeah, I agree. I think it'll be fun. It looks fun. But, you know, a little nostalgic about what we should have had.
Well, and that's my thing. They were selling this as a hardcore rated R, like gritty Hellboy, but the trailer's full of humor. So I'm like,
so like Deadpool rated R?
I don't know what they were going for. Of course, David Harbour from Stranger Things, who plays the sheriff, he's playing Hellboy. Mm-hmm. He looks okay in the role. His face looks kind of smushed.
Yeah.
You know, Perlman has the big cheeks and big chin, and he stands out, where Harbour's got more smush face, and the makeup looks a little funky.
It's like if you left the action figure in the attic for too long, you got a little heat got to it.
So, you know, it's got Neil Marshall directing it, and he's a good director, so hopefully it all comes together nicely when it comes out in April. You know, their marketing's pretty smart. They're putting out a couple of weeks after... well, when does Captain Marvel hit? Is it early March or late March?
I thought it was early March.
And this is April. So putting it in between Captain Marvel and Avengers is probably smart, so hopefully people go see it.
Yeah.
So it should be interesting to see how the Hellboy movie comes together when it all comes out. I'll still go see it because I like Hellboy. So I'll
just for the hell of it.
Just for the hell of it.
Yeah.
Last bit of news other than those couple of trailers. It's been kind of a slow week with the holidays coming. But
pretty much.
There's a report that Star Wars Episode 9 takes place a year after The Last Jedi. We kind of all knew this. You know, Last Jedi took a risk in being the first Star Wars film that ever took place right after the last one. There was no time jump. Usually Star Wars films have a time jump. But I think we knew this had to be, because there's no way Episode 9 could have continued right after The Last Jedi with the Resistance in turmoil.
Yeah.
They were all stuffed on the Millennium Falcon. That was all they had left. You have to have time to rebuild and to build the storyline. And I think we obviously can trust in J.J. Abrams that he's going to bring this together and finish out this trilogy in a good way.
I think so. I don't think you're going to get Luke brought back to life.
No.
And he turns into a friggin'
ninja. I fully expect it to appear as a Force ghost.
Yeah.
He's going to take on the Obi-Wan role to be the conscious and the guide.
Are we going to see all the Force ghosts at the end, though?
Maybe.
Like, but who's going to be Darth Vader?
They'll bring back Hayden Christian, probably.
Yeah. What's the over-under?
He's not doing anything else anyway.
Heck no, man.
He made Star Wars, and that's it.
That's it, man. He did Jumper right afterwards, which I actually liked Jumper.
Yeah, it was entertaining.
Yeah.
He did some crime movie where they were stealing stuff. I remember watching it. There were a bunch of people in that one. I can't remember what it was called. But, you know, Yeah, I'm a little surprised we haven't had more news yet. We know Star Wars Celebrations come out in April, and that's sure that's when we'll get the trailer. But, you know, we've all, for Force Awakens and The Last Jedi, they had already released the titles. Maybe Christmas Day, J.J. Abrams gives us a present.
That would be nice.
And gives us at least the title for episode 9. You know, Balance of the Force, that's what I'm going to call right now.
Balance of the Force.
Or Rise of the Jedi, one of the two.
Rise of the Jedi.
That's my call, so I'm calling those. Do you have a guess? You have to take a guess now.
Finn the Great.
Finn the Great Defender.
Yes.
But that's all the news I got. So, you know, you have any more news? You have any more news?
You know what? Speaking about Dragon Ball Z, a leaked, crappy cell phone, you know, footage video leaked of the Broly movie that's coming out in theaters over here in January.
Yeah.
So if you feel like watching it, it's halfway decent. It looks like one of the, you know, average Cody movies you used to get, or the LimeWire movies you used to get, if you're old enough to remember LimeWire, that you would get, you know, downloaded. Yeah, but, you know, it. I watched it. I watched it because I'm impatient as hell, and I wanted to see what happened. I think if this follows suit to the rest of the Dragon Ball Super franchise, this is what we're probably going to get for our first 100 episodes of the next season of Dragon Ball Super. So it's floating out there on Facebook. You Google leaked Broly movie, you'll find it. Or if you just want to wait and just see it in better animation, then you can wait and see it in better animation. But I won't spoil it for you guys.
There you go.
Yeah.
So let's talk about our next movie before we do get out of here. And we did a couple. If you're not following us on Twitter, we're on Twitter at Rebel Radio Pod, and I'll put polls up there now and then.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I do it on there because the Facebook polls only allow you to do like two or three, where Twitter you can do four. So I know semantics. So I put up some polls where we've had people, they voted for us to do Smokey and the Bandit. They voted for us. What else won? I don't remember off the top of my head, but we did a couple polls. Mm-hmm. And so we've had a couple movies that have been on polls twice.
Running Man.
The Running
yeah,
Man.
Yeah, the Arnold movies.
Well, yeah, and then Transformers, the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But that got a lot of votes, but didn't win their polls. So the next 2 weeks, we're going to do movies that they almost won the polls.
Almost happened.
So the first movie we're going to do, and we're going to kick off the new year with it, is we're going to do maybe not the most popular film in the franchise. People love to knock this movie. We're going to do Mission Impossible 2.
Agent located.
Good morning, Mr. Hunt.
Sorry I barged in on your vacation.
Well, Mr. Hunt, I don't quite know where to begin.
You know me?
No. Should I?
She's got no training for this kind of thing.
But to go to bed with a man and lie to him, she's a woman. She's got all the training she needs.
Welcome to Australia, mate.
This ain't funny.
The mother of all nightmares is on the loose.
I don't think I can do it.
I mean, it'll be difficult.
Very.
Well, this is not mission difficult, Mr. Hunt. It's mission impossible. Difficult should be a walk in the park for you.
You gotta be kidding.
This message will destruct in 5 seconds.
Yes.
And, you know, the Mission Impossible franchise has been really good. And we're not gonna rank the movies, I don't think, on this episode, because, you know, eventually I want to, you know, maybe do all of them,
mm-hmm.
but we're going to do things out of order. But I really like Mission Impossible 2, and I think it doesn't get enough love. You know, people want to knock on it. It is the John Woo film, so it's got the doves and the slow motion, and, mm-hmm. and Ethan Hunt has the long hair, and it has the over-the-top motorcycle chase and stuff in it.
Yep, but, that's what I remember from it.
But I like it a lot, but I'm a huge John Woo fan, as we did Hardboiled a while back on the show. So I'm looking forward to having some fun with it. We've made some Tom Cruise jokes over the show over the year. We sung Happy Birthday to him one episode back in the day.
Yes, yeah, we did.
We had photos stolen from us from Tom Cruise.
Yes.
On our Twitter account that we put up there rightfully. So we hadn't done a Tom Cruise movie, had we?
We have not.
So we're going to do Mission Impossible 2 next week on the show. Any thoughts on that?
I'm gonna love watching this. I'm gonna get my kids involved. Jake is gonna watch this with me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, Mission Impossible 2. We'll talk about this. It gave us Hugh Jackman indirectly.
Oh yeah.
Because if Doug Ray Scott doesn't get hurt making this movie, Hugh doesn't play Wolverine.
That's true.
So thank you for that from Doug Ray Scott. Doug Ray Scott.
Doug Ray Scott.
But as we close out the year, though, thank you, everyone. They're sneezing in the background.
Sneezing.
Thank you, everyone, as always, for listening to the show. We really appreciate it. Anybody listening on WBLZmedia.com on Ironic Radio, thank you. Your support means a lot, and we hope to do more in the new year. I got to work on some new T-shirt designs and more stuff. Go to therealradiopodcast.com if you want to buy a shirt on the store link. And that offer still stands. You buy a shirt, I'll send you a sticker too.
There we go.
And as I look back into 2018, I thank you, Matt, man, for always coming into the house and recording and putting the work in and making the show the best it can be. And thanks to Frank for the parts he's done, even though he hasn't been on the show in a while. But I can't do this without you, I think we've come a long way this year, and we're tooting
our horn
here a little bit, but I think the show's gotten better. And I hope it's gotten better.
I hope it's gotten better too.
And I've got some feedback from good friends like Matt Tarbutton and stuff, a friend of mine. He always gives me feedback, and a couple other guys at work that tell me, yeah, you are doing really good. And so it makes you feel that your work is worth something.
Yeah.
When you hear good comments from friends.
I think I'm definitely a better movie analyzer than a person that comes to your party that you work, with analyzer. So I will definitely toot my own horn with you and say that we're pretty good. We're definitely, if we're in the room with like 10 other podcasts, we're definitely in like the top 3 or 4. Yeah, for sure.
Damn. Yeah. Hey, you really went over the edge.
Boom, right there.
Boats and hoes.
Boats and hoes.
Prestige worldwide.
Black leather gloves.
But until we talk to you in the new year, have a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays and a safe New Year.
Be safe.
And until we talk to you again, this has been Mark.
This has been
Matt. And this has been the Rebel Radio Podcast. As always,
just go there and do it.
Hey, it's Alfonso Berry. Listen to the Rebel Radio Podcast.
Hey, Headbangers. This is Rudy Sarzo, and you're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast at TrustMeI'mAJedi.com.